everything that's been said. Appreciate the honest hearts, I sure do. I thought this morning whenever we was shaking hands and going out of the service, it appeared to me as though several kindly maybe was disheartened. I just is the word I guess maybe I would use as far as folk not seeing folks move. And Brother Adam even mentioned it to me as we shook hands, that it's kind of disappointing, ain't it, you know? And I thought what Justin said as far as from the pastor's perspective is concerned, but the Lord's helped me today with that. He surely has. I've not been down and out about that. Maybe as I normally, on normal occasions, would be in that regard. You say, well, preacher, what was different today? Well, just the Lord, really, is all it was, helping me with that in that regard. And just reminding me as I was going to the truck, I was taking my bag of clothes, and I set them in there, and the Lord just kindly whispered, be not weary in well-doing. For in due season you shall reap if you faint not. We can't faint, children. I know maybe it'd be easy to in that regard as far as how the time of life is concerned, but the Lord has a plan and He knows and it's in His hands, and I'm thankful for that. If you'd like to read with us along here in Revelation chapter number 10, got some scripture here on our heart, feel like the Lord would have us to read. And we was coming to church this morning, just kindly trying to get settled as far as what the Lord would have us to stand with this morning. I'll be honest with you, what the Lord put on our heart this morning, what we stood with, if it's one of them things where you just kind of be transparent, it was one of them sneak-up circumstances. I really didn't have no intentions that what I stood with this morning would be what I stood with. Had other scripture. I felt like we'd studied all week long, and then the Lord, while we were sitting there at the house, maybe 2 or 3 minutes before we got ready to leave, the Lord just kindly took it in a different direction, and that we come out with this morning. I didn't know. How would I know whenever I got ready to leave the house what the circumstances would be as far as how that was concerned? And in myself, I think, well, Lord, why would you put us in that direction? And get here to church and see what the Lord has done. There's a whole lot to be thankful for this morning, children. They sure was. Hey, maybe we didn't see nobody come to the altar and pray and nothing of that nature, but the house was filled up, and that's a punch in the eye to the devil from my perspective. He'll tell me all the time why it ain't never going to get like it was, and he's a liar. And that's all I know to say. You read along with me here, and I'll do my best to give you my heart, that the Lord has directed our mind to. Not going to tell you I'll be short, not going to tell you I'll be long. Just going to do my best to follow the leadership of the Lord. Revelation chapter number 10, and begin reading there in verse number 1. The Bible says, and I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth, and cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, 7 thunders uttered their voices, and when the 7 thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the 7 thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and sware by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the 7th angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servant the prophets. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up. It shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, Thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. And I feel like it's all for now that the Lord has to read. And ask you, if you would, just for a moment, go with us up to the Lord in prayer that He might be our helper. Pray with me for just a moment, if you will. My Lord and my God, we come to you, Lord, tonight, and we thank you, Lord, for this good day, Lord, that you've blessed us with. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege to gather into your house. God, we ask you, Lord, that you'd help us, God, for a time and a season tonight. God, to set aside ourselves, God, to put that, Lord, to the side and be able, God, to do that, Lord, that you've called us to do. Guide us according to thy good will and according to thy good pleasure. Help us, God. We need you. We need your help. We need you, God, according to thy will. In the name of Jesus, we ask these things. Amen and amen. You pray for us for just a few minutes here tonight as the Lord has directed our heart. I'll do my best to kindly try to share with you that the Lord has placed on my heart. And I'll be honest with you, I appreciate not to single that out above anything else, but thought about Josh's testimony whenever he began to tell us there this evening about how oftentimes the troubles and the trials and the cares of life, if I'll be honest, and maybe if you'll be honest as well, hey man, what the brother said tonight, we ought to be able to say with a little more, hey man, kindly zeal about it, amen. Because surely, hey, I'll speak for myself. That's what happens sometimes in my everyday walk of life. Lord, help me, I'd bring this out the best way that I know how. And it certainly isn't because that I don't have what I would say, Nick, on the inside is a desire to do what the Lord would have me to do. And I'll just say this, it's not because Josh, that I don't have a desire for my mind and my heart to be in the right place, but it just seems like sometimes it's more difficult, amen, to get myself into the right frame of mind than it is at other times. Maybe it's just me, amen. But circumstance will come and life will come and every day, amen, things will come, and I'm just going to be honest with you. Amen, I thought this morning, and it wasn't because, amen, initially I said, the Lord helped me today, and He surely did. But it wasn't because whenever I got done and I went over there and I sat down, it wasn't because there wasn't heartbreak and, amen, questions and all them things in my mind. Amen. I'll just speak for Lee. Amen. You pray. Amen. I won't put words into your mouth or anything of that nature. Amen. But it seems like just as soon, oftentimes as I get done, as I finish, doing what it is that I feel like the Lord would have me to do, immediately my own mind and my own flesh begins, Trevor, to begin to say, well, amen, that wasn't what you're supposed to say. That wasn't what you're supposed to do. That didn't go the way you thought it would go. Amen, am I the only one ever thinks like that? Amen, but brother, amen, I've been a studying and a praying and a seeking the Lord, amen, about this here in Revelation chapter number 10. And we get to this place, you stay with me, I'll take my time as the Lord directs my heart, Tommy. Amen, we get to this place here in Revelation chapter number 10. And maybe if you look at this chapter kindly on the surface, you'll think, well, there ain't nothing major or nothing big kindly maybe happens in this chapter. But if you remember, amen, what just happened, amen, what just come to an end, amen, in chapter number 9. Well, preacher, what was it? Amen to God. You go back several chapters to chapter number 5 and chapter number 6, and you find a picture, thank God, of the throne of God in there, amen. The best I could try to bring it out, you find Jesus there in the midst of all of it, amen, and a book, thank God, that's on, amen, the thigh of God Almighty. A scroll, if you will, that's sealed with 7 seals on the front side and on the back side it's sealed up, Levi. Amen. And thank God, do you remember, amen, whenever John seen, amen, that seal and that book and the seals that was on it. Amen. Thank God. The Bible tells us there. I'm not trying to go back over it. Just God
got to set up. Amen. What it is that the Lord has done here in chapter number 10. And John looks on that book, brother, and the Bible said that heaven was searched, and thank God, and that the earth was searched, and beneath the earth was searched, and there was nobody found worthy to open up that book. Can you say amen? Amen. So what's the special now about chapter number 10? The Bible said he sees this angel. Stay with me. Let me bring this out. You pray that the Lord give us understanding. He sees this angel here now. Amen. According to how it's described. Amen. It's a mighty angel. And it's a powerful angel. It talks about, amen, having a rainbow. Amen. Over him talks about his face shining like the sun. And it talks about his feet being, amen, like pillars of fire. Does that remind you of anything that we've read or studied about already here in Revelation? I'm over there whenever John looks in the midst of them seven golden candlesticks. He sees one like unto the Son of Man, and his hair is white like wool, and his face shines as the brightness of the sun, and his feet burn as though they'd been burned in a furnace. Does that not sound very similar to this angel that you hear? Amen. I've told you Revelation is just a recapitulation. It's just a different view. Help me, Lord, I'd get this out the right way, brother. Amen. We've used an analogy on several occasions. Amen. Of a ball game. Amen. Where they're looking down on, amen, the field of play. And they've got all these different cameras. And they've got all these different angles, you know. Amen, brother. Amen. If you study much about, amen, football and all this stuff, it's natural, it's carnal. But that's how the Lord gives it to me. And to show it to you tonight. You pray, you and I feel preaching. And head on the inside of my soul tonight. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. And brother, amen, thank God. In every ball game, it seems like Levi played a few. I know you have. And maybe some others of us sitting here. But it seems like there's always, amen, a certain point in the game. Amen. When you get down to the end of it. Amen. And the horn sounds. And the game's over. It seems like always, Tommy, you can look back to a particular point in the game. And you can say that's where everything changed. Amen. Where the momentum shifted. And maybe it's an interception. And maybe it's a fumble. Maybe it's a kickoff return. Whatever the case may be. Amen, brother. One day after a while, brother, the sisters sung so well tonight. There's a brighter day coming. Amen. That's what I'm living for. That's what I'm hoping in, is that brighter day. But brother, if we get there, when we get to that day, and we look back over the existence of everything, chapter number 10 is where mankind will be able to say that's where everything changed. You say, why, preacher? Because I read to you today that the angel had his book in his hand, a little book in his hand, but it didn't have no seals on it. It wasn't closed up. According to the scriptures, he had this book, and brother, it was open. What does that mean? It means that now you have a chance. I have a chance. Them folks that was with us this morning that did not move, at least they had a chance. And that's something to rejoice about tonight. Help me, Lord. A lot of scholars, a lot of theologians, a lot of people kind of maybe got a lot of things figured out. And they'll look at this here angel that's there, and they want to kind of maybe say that can't be a type and a representation of Jesus. Amen. But where did the angel come from? In chapter number 10. The Bible says that he come down from heaven, did he not? Amen. And it describes him there, Levi. And it talks about what he looks like. It sounds very similar to me, amen, over there in Revelation chapter number 1. It does. Amen. But it goes a little further. And it says that he begins to speak. And he begins to talk, Brother Tim. And what does it say about his voice? It says that when he speaks, amen, that it sounds like a lion, and it begins to roar, amen. And what does the scripture call Jesus there? Amen. It calls him the lion of the tribe of Judah. Say amen. Amen. I don't know whether it's helped anybody else, but brother, it helps me, thank God. Amen. Whenever I got done this morning, Trevor, and I got over here and began to sit down and begin, amen, to kindly ponder and begin to let folks kindly finish out the service. The Bible says that our adversary, the devil, is also as a roaring lion. Does it not say that? Amen, brother. And whenever I sat down over there, amen, that's what I begin to hear, Levi. I begin to hear my adversary, Tommy. I begin to roar at me. And begin, amen, to make sound in my direction, trying to dissuade me and discourage me. Does he not do youngs like that, children? And is he not trying to get you down and to get you out? Amen. But naturally speaking, hallelujah, thank God, in the natural world, in the natural realm, you know what they call a lion? They call them the king of the jungle, amen. They're an apex predator, amen, which means they're at the top of the, I'm going to run a spell out of at the top of the food chain. And when it comes down to it, when a lion walks down through the avenue of his life, ain't much causes the lion to have fear. Ain't much causes the lion to even turn his head from one side to the other. Amen, brother. But do you know why lions roar? Amen, brother. It's to let every other lion around know that they are the king of the jungle. Hallelujah, brother. And there he was, amen, this morning, roaring at me and trying his best to convince me that he is the king of the jungle. Amen. Amen. But I changed my clothes and I started toward, and I started towards a truck, and I got about halfway out the yonder, amen, and I began to hear something down on the inside of me. And I began to say, I be not weary and well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. And you know what I heard? I heard the lion of the tribe of Judah begin to roar, brother. And when he roars, amen, that devil is alive. I'll not take nothing away from him. I'll not say I can handle him. But thank God I know a lion. Hallelujah. Amen. That's greater than he is tonight. And brother, when his voice begins to sound, the roaring of my Savior drowns out everything else. Oh my. Well, the scripture says that he begins to speak and his voice is as a lion when he roars. Help my Lord. Just go back with me there to the scriptures. Amen, if you will. I'm going to take my time. Amen. At verse number 3, and cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth, and when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, I seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered and write them not. Help me, Lord, I'd get this brought out the right way. And let me take my time here with verse, amen, numbers. I believe it is 3 here in chapter number 10. Amen, don't get offended at me whenever I say this. Amen, I don't want anybody, amen, to hear me say this and think that what I'm trying to say, amen, belittles this book in any way, amen, whatsoever, amen. This is the Word of God, say amen. If you have it, brother, this is Jesus, amen, and this is, amen, the Lord, amen, in written form right there in front of us. Help me, Lord, I'd get this out the right way, amen, but I'm going to tell you the truth. Now, don't get offended at me, amen. I read that book a lot, Danny, amen. I read it a lot, Josh, amen, throughout the week, throughout the day, amen. Read a lot of words out of it, and don't get offended whenever I say this. There's a lot of times, thank God, that what I read out of that book, it's nothing more, Trevor, than just words on a page. Preacher, you ought not say that. Hey, but I'm just telling you the truth. It's times I read that book and the words on it and what I see and what I get out of it. Don't get offended at me. Amen. Don't carry any more weight than me reading, amen, the Full Cry magazine. It's just words on a page. Amen. Some of you's looking at me like I can't figure this out. I can't get what he's trying to say. Amen. But brother, thank God. There's times when I've read it and I ain't got nothing out of it. It's just been words. Amen. And then I'll be a driving down the road. Hallelujah. And maybe I'll just be sitting around the house. Ain't nobody else there but me. Amen. Or I'll be sitting at my desk and there ain't nobody else there. Amen. And all of a sudden I'll hear a voice begin to speak inside me. Amen. Ain't been times, brother, it's been surreal. It's been so loud I've looked around to see if anybody else was in the room with me. What was it was his voice. And when he begins to speak, it's like the thunder, amen, a rolling inside. Let me take my time right here. Amen. There's been a few times, amen, since me and Faith been married, that we've sat on the inside of the house and maybe somewhere's way out yonder in the distance, amen, a little bit of thunder will come, and you kindly question yourself, well, what was that thunder? Or what? And I'll even ask her, did you hear that? Was that thunder? Amen. But brother, amen, there's been a few times, amen to God, amen, we'd be laying in the bed dead asleep, amen, and something, amen, in the heavens would crash, and the cabinets, amen, would shake, and the wind, and I don't have to ask no, I don't have to reach over and ask her, was that thunder or not? Amen. It was so loud and it was surreal. I knew, amen, that's what it was. Amen. Don't get offended at the preacher. But brother, I'm persuaded that's what's missing out of a lot of Free Will Baptist church members' lives. Woo! Glory to God. There'll be some things happening in church and it's like you have to look at somebody else. Was that thunder or was that not thunder? Amen. But thank God, I'm glad for them times, hallelujah, in the house of God, Levi, that when he speaks, amen, or I'm a driving down the road and he speaks, I don't have to ask nobody if that's here. I don't have to ask nobody, amen, did you hear it? I know it's here. Praise the Lord. Give me grace. I'd say this in the right way. When that happens, when that voice speaks in such a way, God, give me grace. maybe I brung some of it out this morning. I surely tried. God knows my heart, I did. But that Sunday morning, I sat back there on that church pew at Piney Hill. I didn't have to wonder whether or not he was talking to me. I knew, amen, that he was talking to me. Help me, Lord, I'd get this out the right way. Amen, so you don't get hurt at me or get offended at me. Amen, surely on the surface we'll look at, amen, what happened this morning. And nobody prayed, nobody used the altar. Hey, amen, now help me, Lord, I'd get this out. Are you hear the preacher good? Hey, amen, if you didn't do everything the Lord wanted you to do this morning, well, then you ought to hang your head down and be ashamed. Amen, you ought to. If you didn't obey him, if he told you to do something and you didn't do it, you ought to feel bad about the service. You ought to feel guilty about it. You ought to feel ashamed. Amen. Preacher, you ought not say that. It's the truth, brother. Amen, I tell you. But if you did do whatever it is that he told you to do, ain't nothing, amen, to hold your head down about. Somebody this morning heard the thunder of God Almighty. Heard his voice, and whether they prayed today or they did not, they'll never be able to say, I did not hear him, I did not know he was talking to me. And then that's still something to rejoice about. He loved them, he loved us enough that he let his voice resonate in this place today. Help us, Lord. Let me jump back. Let me jump back a verse here in verse number 2. I'm not in a hurry, so I'm not going to tell you that I am. Praise the Lord. The Bible said, talking about that angel, and he had in his hand a little book. Open. A little book open. And he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth. Amen. Help me, Lord. God, give me grace I'd bring this out. I don't believe. Amen. I'm just going to say it the way the Lord gave it to me. Amen. John that I'm talking about here, some people call him John the Revelator. Some people call him John the Beloved. Amen. But just to give you, amen, a specific, amen, of who he is, he was the disciple of Jesus, John. Amen, brother. And thank the Lord, amen, if anybody knew Jesus, it would have been John. Amen. Because we find in one place in the scriptures, amen, where he laid his head. Amen, right there on his bosom. Amen, you believe whatever you want to. I don't believe John. I was looking at his feet neither, brother. I believe whenever John laid his head on the Lord's chest, I believe he's looking right into his eyes and looking right at his face. Amen. And thank the Lord forevermore. And whenever John seen this angel, amen, this representation of the Lord Jesus Christ, I don't believe John had no questions who it was. I believe he knew who it was. And one thing that lets me know, amen, whenever that angel, brother, would have stepped out there and put one foot on the land and another foot on the sea, amen, I believe John would have known who he was. You know why? Because John would have had this thought. He would have thought, I've seen him walk on the land. Amen, brother. But I've also seen him walk on the sea. I've seen him, amen, do miracles on the land. But I've also seen him do miracles on the sea. Amen, thank God. What was that a signify? Amen, it was a showing John, and it ought to show the rest of the church that, brother, he's the God God. He's the Lord of it all, of the earth. Amen. And thank God, there stands the Lord of the earth, and the book is open. Help me, Lord. Give me grace. When John first seen the book, it was closed. Amen. And the Bible tells us plainly, when John looked at that book and it was closed, and heaven was searched and there wasn't nobody, and the earth was searched and there wasn't nobody, and beneath the earth was searched and there wasn't nobody, the Bible says that John wept. He began to cry and began to be in mourning. Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord, help me out to get this out the right way. It seems like anymore, children, that the majority of the church world, when it comes to this book of Revelation, that's what people want to do, brother. They want to look, help me, Lord, I'd get this. They want to look around at the world that's out there, and they want to get down and out. Come on with me. And we've already said tonight, amen, that if we ain't real careful, we'll get ourselves in the same shape. We'll get down and out. Say amen, brother. But thank God tonight, children. Amen. We ain't a servant, no God. Our Savior ain't in a tomb somewhere. He ain't dead. He's alive, youngers. And he's got all power. And what's more than that, they didn't pray this morning, I'll give you that much, devil. Amen. But the book ain't closed, brother. Amen. I hope he can hear me tonight. Amen. Thank God. Amen. They did not pray. Their name ain't wrote down in there. But brother, he still holds the pen. And the book's still open. Hallelujah. And until he closes the book, until he puts the pen down, you of the church ought to have hope that they can still get right with God. Help us, Lord. The Bible don't give us this imagery and these kind of specifics. But the book being closed was so moving to John that it brought him to tears and to weeping in the morning. And evidently, whenever he seen this angel and he seen that scroll, the fact that it was open meant enough to John, brother, that he recorded it down here, and so that all these years later, had a little old church on the side of White Oak on a Sunday night, with their heads maybe hanging down a little bit, that we could be reminded that the book is open, youngers. Oh, Lord, if I didn't have no hope that the book was still open, amen, that little baby girl on the other side of them doors, oh, what kind of heartache, what kind of weeping, what kind of sadness, but the book ain't closed. It's open tonight, and the Lord is still the Lord of glory. Help me. Help me, Lord. I don't know exactly how many times in the scriptures, in excess probably, I guess it is, of 20 or 30 times in the Old Testament, our training manual. Amen. I understood what you were saying this morning, brother. But I also know how the devil in your mind get in there and say, now you didn't say that right. Everybody out there was thinking you were saying the Old Testament didn't matter. I didn't get that at all. Amen. Amen. Whenever he was saying all his testimony, you know what the Lord brought to my mind? The Lord brought to my mind that the law is a schoolmaster. Amen. Pointing us. Amen. Thank God the Spirit bears witness. Amen, brother. That ought to make you rejoice tonight. Does your testimony not ever bother you? You ever not get done preaching sometimes and sit down and think to yourself, that wasn't worth 15 cents. They think I said this or meant that. Amen. But thank God the Holy Ghost, amen, can do things with them words. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. I'm glad the book's open tonight, whether anybody else is or not. All these times in the Old Testament, it talks about angels. On many bitty occasions, it mentions angels. But there's a few specific times in the Scriptures where it calls that angel the angel of the Lord. Amen. And it gets down real, real specific. And it tells, now, amen, I don't want nobody to get confused or nobody to get way out there. Amen, and think the preacher's lost his mind. Amen, but way over yonder in the beginning, brother, whenever God Almighty began, thank God, to bring everything into existence that was in existence, he didn't just think it into existence. He spoke it into existence. He said it with his mouth. Amen. Help me, Lord, I'd get this out the right way. And in one place here in Revelation later on down the line, amen, we'll get to a place, amen, where we get a description of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen, and it talks about who he is. And it, amen, then begins to say that he's got a name, amen, upon his vesture, upon his thigh. And the Bible says plainly it calls him the Word of God. Amen. Another place, John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. What does it call Jesus? It calls him the only begotten Son of the Father. Amen. Whether you want to believe it or not, the begotten of God, the Word of God, began to exist, brother, when God Almighty opened his mouth and spoke out. And that's where, amen, brother, and that's where the Word come from. Amen, Lord. And a lot of times, thank God, mankind will look, brother, at that little old place over there in the stable, in the manger, and that's where they want to say that Jesus made his first appearance on the earth. But brother, that ain't so at all. Amen. Thank God forevermore. The angel of the Lord, the Spirit, if you will, the presence of God had been coming and going to the earth all throughout the Old Testament, brother. When Moses was over there and he seen that bush, what did it do? It burned with fire. What does it say his feet's like? It's like that wasn't nothing but Jesus, brother, standing in that bush. The Bible said the angel of the Lord spoke to him out of a burning bush. When Abraham was over there, and his name was Abram, in the land of Uz, and he was out there one day just sitting there, the Bible says that the angel of the Lord has spoken to him and said, go yonder, Abram, into a land that I'll show you. Go through the length of it and the breadth of it and the width of it. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. When Daniel was over yonder, in the lion's den. What does it say? Who shut the mouth? The angel of the Lord. It wasn't just some celestial being, brother. It was the presence of the Savior clapping the jaws of that lion. Do you ever feel like you're in that burning fiery furnace in the day and hour that we're living in? Them three little Hebrew boys, the Bible says, thank God that the king looked on the inside and he said, I see four men, and the fourth man is likened to the Son of God. He was in the fire. He was here when it was all made. It's always been him, and it'll always be him. Help us, Lord. This angel that John's a seeing here is what the Old Testament called the angel of the Lord. But it's just a spiritual manifestation of my Jesus, of my Savior. Help me, Lord. You see, all the way up through chapters 5 and 6 and 7 and 8 and 9. What's he been doing? He's been opening the seals. Been opening the seals. Been a making a way, if you will. Amen to God. And we get down here to chapter number 10. And the book's open. Help me, Lord, I'd say this the right way. And what kind of story would it be? Can I borrow your Bible here just for a minute here? I'll try my best to keep the sweat and the slobber and the spit and whatnot. What kind of story would it be if the book was opened and I just kept it over here? Let me get rid of these glasses in case I have to take me a running spell. But the book's open, Justin, and there the angel of the Lord stands holding the book. And then all of a sudden, brother, amen, there's a bigger voice, amen, a greater voice, amen. The angel, amen, looks up into the heavens and swears by the one that created it all and made it all. And then, amen, there begins to be a sound come out of heaven, brother. Amen, begins to speak to John. And what does it tell him, amen? It don't just tell him, stand there and look at the book. It don't just tell him, stand there and gaze on the angel and look at how wonderful it is and be rejoicing because the book's open. He says, get over there where the book is. Amen. And ask him for the book. Amen. Tell him that you want the book. And John goes over there and he tells that angel, he says, give me the book. Let me have the book. And what does the angel do, Tommy? The Bible says that he hands the book to him. And he says, now you've got it. He said, take it. He said, but don't just carry it around. Don't just hold it. He said, eat it up. He said, swallow it. And Jesus began to get the disciples together and began to get them around her. And he began, amen, and to take some bread. And he began to break that bread. And he began to pass it out to them. And he began to say, take and eat. This is my body, which was broken for you. As often as you eat of this, you do it in remembrance of me. Amen, thank God. You reckon, brother, whenever John took that book out of the angel of the Lord's hand, that his mind went back. Oh, that Nick, I'm going to run a spell. You reckon his mind went back? Amen, thank God, to that Friday evening in the darkness, amen, of that upper room, and a little old light of burning over on the side, and him a breaking that and a passing it out, and John's mind a flashing, he'll see the Lord a hanging on the cross of Calvary, and him a telling him, your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and they're dead. He said, but my Father, he'll give you bread out of heaven that you can eat of it and you'll never be hungry again. The Bible don't give us this imagery. But as the Lord revealed it to me, I can see John reaching out for that book. And when he gets it in his hands, it's a loaf of bread. He remembers everything that the Lord told him. Let me read to you now. Let's come down here. Oh my. Let's start there in verse number 9. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter. It shall be in thy mouth sweet. As honey, let me just take my time right there. I told you, I'm not in no hurry. I ain't going to be in one now. Praise the Lord. What kind of shape would you be in if whenever you realized you was lost and you realized you needed something from Jesus and you done like John done and you went to him? I've often thought from time to time where my life would be, Justin, if on that Sunday morning, Tommy, down on the side of Cane River, when I got up there to where he was, and I said, Lord, you've got what I need. Can I have it? What kind of shape I'd be in? Levi would have said, it's too late. You've went too far. You've done too much. But when I asked him, Trevor, and I said, Lord, I need it. Can I have it? He extended to me of that which I ask of him. Hallelujah. Brother, if I get there, thank God. If I make it to the other side and I've got my hope in him that I'm going to, I'm a living my best to try and I make it there the best way I know how. But if I get there, when I get to that side, I'll be able to look back, amen, across my life. And it ain't going to be all them times I preached. It ain't going to be all them times I witnessed. It ain't gonna be all them times I testified. Amen. You know what the game changer in my life will be, where the momentum shifted? It's when he give me a salvation full and free. And on the inside, if I get there, it ain't gonna be on my righteousness. It ain't gonna be on my glory. It ain't gonna be on my goodness. It'll be because of him and what he's done in my life. You have fathers that know how to give you good gifts. Which one of you that when your son asks you for bread, that you give him a stone? If ye then, being man, know how to give good gifts, how much more the Father knows how to give good gifts. He's not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness. Bless his name forevermore. I wish a whole lot of scholars and theologians of the book was here tonight, thank the Lord. Amen. And they could feel, Trevor, and on the inside of their hearts, what I'm feeling tonight. Amen. Whenever John said, let me have it, give me that book, and thank God the Lord put it right in his hands. Amen, brother. That's what the revelation of Jesus is all about. It's about Him doing everything that's in His power to give mankind the choice, to give mankind the decision. And once it's in your hands, once the decision is yours, it's up to you what you do with it. And he said unto me, take it, take the book. And then he didn't stop there. Amen. Maybe you remember, maybe you don't, I don't know. But I believe in a revival sometime back, I stood here one night and I preached a message on a three little word called and. Because you see, a lot of times in our Christian life, we're real good at checking a box. I've done that, Lord. But youngins, amen, being a child of God, oftentimes it requires and. Amen. Not only do you have to take the book, but the Bible says, and you have to eat it up. Help me, Lord. I didn't know, amen, all this was going to go together. Amen, but the Lord sure did. I used the example this morning about that old Brussels sprout. Amen. And there's a whole lot of people told me, I don't care much for Brussels sprouts. I don't like Brussels sprouts. And then you ask them, well, have you ever tried them? No, don't reckon I have. How is it, do you like something that you ain't never put inside of you, that you ain't never tasted? Help me, Lord, I'd get this out the right way. I believe there's a whole lot of people in the world, brother, got a real good concept of who Jesus is. And they're good with the concept of who Jesus is. And they're probably even good with the concept of what Jesus, amen, philosophy and the approach and His message and the gospel is. Amen. As long as it's something that's out here on the exterior of them. But just as soon as it gets down, amen, to where it's just like Jesus told them, the disciples that's over there, He said, unless you eat of me, amen, unless you take me on the inside, He said, you can't be my disciple. You can't be it. Amen. You know what many of them they said? This is a hard thing. This is in John chapter number 6. You go read it. A multitude of them was around our Levi. And he begins to tell them, you've got to eat me. You've got to consume me. In other words, I've got to get on the inside of you. And I've got to become a part of you. And you've got to become a part of me. It's got to get to the place where people can't tell where you end and I begin. And I end and you begin. You've got to decrease so that I might increase. Amen, brother. That's what it's a tell of. And what does the Bible say, Trevor? The Bible said from that point forward, many of His disciples went away and they walked no more with Him. Amen, brother. Because we've got a good... The world's got a good mentality. Amen. They think Jesus is a good thing. And He's got good principles. But they just don't want Him on the inside. Changing. Let me preach a minute, thank God. We've lived to a society today. Amen. You go to a bookstore and try to find your Bible. Amen. And if you tell them you want your King James Version, they'll have to take you around back in the closet somewhere. Amen, where they just got a little old handful of them. But they got every commentary ever been wrote. Got every NIV, NSV, every other kind of version that's out there. Amen. Got all these, come on with me. Got every kind of book you can think about, except for the book, and it's on rare. Amen. Display somewhere's back in the corner. Amen, brother. Amen. We've lived to a time now that mankind, you know. You know why there's so many commentaries to be sold, and why there's so many self-help books, and so many, amen, devotionals out there? It's because mankind has decided it's easier for us to change this to fit our lives. Instead of changing our lives to fit that book, brother. Well, I'll just change that to fit me. It's an easier go of it. But brother, if you don't change you to fit that book, if you don't eat it, if you don't take it in, you ain't gonna get that. And what did he tell him? He said, when you eat it, oh, how good it's going to taste. When you take it into you and begin to bite on it and begin to chew on it, oh, how lovely it's going to be. It's going to be like honeycomb. It's going to be so sweet to you. He said, but then it's going to get down inside of you. And it's going to begin to break down. And the blood's going to begin to get a hold of it and begin to push it out through your body. And the nutrients and the enzymes and the things that's inside of it is going to start making your muscles different. The places that you used to walk to, your legs just ain't going to seem to find the strength to want to walk to them places no more. The things that your hands used to want to get a hold of, they just ain't going to seem to find the strength to want to hold on to them things anymore. The things that your eyes used to look at and begin to desire to have and to begin to want to be there, amen, they ain't going to look the same to you anymore. Help me, Lord. And so when it gets dead on the inside of you, help me, Lord, I'd say this the right way. Don't you get mad at me. I love you, Junkins. I'm just trying to give you my heart. We'll rejoice about the Lord's gospel being bitter as long as it's taking that meth out of my hand. We'll rejoice about the Lord's gospel changing the muscle in my legs as long as it ain't taking me down to the bar no more. Long as I ain't waking up hungover, come on with me. As long as my hands ain't laying on the things that cause me to be broken and down in the ditch line somewhere, oh, the gospel's changed me. Come on with me. But the same enzymes that's in them legs that tells you you can't go down there to the bar, all of a sudden when they get to digesting, amen, and you see you kind of just want to walk like this, amen, and it ain't taking you to the bar no more, you'll rejoice about that. And you just want to walk like this. But all of a sudden, them muscles on the inside of your legs will start saying, go down there to the lost man's house. We're okay when them cuss words ain't coming out of our mouth no more. But whenever, amen, them enzymes on the inside, amen, start to tell them people how much I've done for you. We're good that we ain't at the bar no more. But when somebody smites us on the cheek like they would have whenever we was a drunkard, we had to smote them back. And that enzyme on the inside says, give them the other cheek. Come on with me. Whenever somebody would have cheated you, amen, maybe they on the trading post you seed about, amen, a $250 lawnmower, and you thought, boy, that's a good deal. You get out there and they show you, amen, the lawnmower, it runs all right for a few minutes there, and you think, well, this is pretty good. You get it and you take it up to the house, amen. Preacher, why are you preaching this? Because this is my scenario. Hey, you go down there and you pay the $250 for it and you get it home, and you make about one lap around the outside, amen, of your yard a monitor, and brother, it falls out of pieces, and on the inside of you, amen, what used to, amen, would have you just would have raised up, that fella done me wrong, he cheated me, he hoodooed me, amen. But amen, whenever it gets inside of you, and it says, now he's took your coat, you give him your cloak also. Preacher, what'd you do? The only thing I know to do, youngins, when I seen him on the street, I shook his hand, told him I loved him, and I appreciated him, and I let that little old piece of junk lawnmower sit down yonder under the tree, and I walked and pushed it just like I was before. Preacher, you didn't go back and fuss at it. It wasn't because I didn't want to, but I just couldn't do it. And oh, how bitter it was. Preacher, do you always get it right? God forbid. There's a little blonde-headed lady back there today. I surely don't get it right, Levi. If anybody can testify to how much I mess up, it be her. But you know what I am thankful for? The book's still open, Trevor. Hallelujah. Bless this name. Let me read a little bit more. Richard, you're long-winded tonight. Well, that's all right. Hey, man, that's all I know to do is just give you what the Lord give me. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand. And I carried it around under my arm. Come on with me. And I told everybody I was a Christian. And I told everybody I went to church. And I told everybody I went up there to White Oak. That ain't what it says he done with it. When he got it out of his hand, says he did what the Lord told him to do with it. He ate it, brother. Don't get mad at me, youngins. I love you. But a lot of times in our life, we go through troubles and heartaches and turmoils in things in our lives that we ought not have to go through. You say, preacher, why is that? Because he loves us enough. And on Sunday mornings and Sunday nights, and Wednesday night, he sends into this place exactly what we need to keep us out of them things we'll find ourselves in. But we put it under our arm. And I went to church today, and what could have helped us next week is laying some words at the house. He took it. And he ate it, and he tells us the truth. And it was in my mouth, sweet as honey. Best thing since sliced loaf bread, he said, Levi. Oh, man, it was good. And as soon as I had eaten it, Josh, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. Now here John is. The book's open, say amen. Praise the Lord. Something to rejoice about tonight, that the book's still open. But as I told you how the Lord gave it to me as a visualization, the Bible don't say it this way, but this is how the Lord used it to get me to understand it. I see John reaching for the book, Trevor. And as soon as he gets a hold of the book, it becomes a loaf of bread. Amen. Now I believe John tires a big piece of it off. Starts eating on it right then. But then I believe he looks back down at that loaf of bread. Y'all with me? And he sees where he's tore a piece off of it, Seth. And he sees what it's done for him. He feels the change that it's making inside of him. And he looks at that loaf of bread. And the angel says, now you're going to have to tell everybody else. Many nations and people and kindreds and tongues. All about this. You know what? The only thing that... Help me, Lord. I'm going to have me a jumping spell, Levi. I can tell you all day long, Tommy, that my wife back there makes the best pot. Homemade chicken and dumplings you'll ever eat in your life. But now if I get a bowl of them and they're hot piping and I slide in front of you, I've talked about how good they are. I've talked about how good they taste. And then I slide that bowl in front of you and I say, here it is. Try it for yourself. That's altogether different, youngins, than me describing how good. Don't you get mad at me. Help me, Lord, to get this out the right way. I'm persuaded a lot of times we do a pretty good job of telling people and describing Jesus to people. Tell them he's the best thing since sliced loaf bread. But how much of him do we actually give them? It's not how much we talk about him. It's not how much we say how good he is, but it's how much of him that we actually put in front of them. And we say, preacher, how do I do this? What does the Bible say he is? God is love. That's how you give it to the next man. To the next man. You got to give them love. How much love you give them is a direct reflection of how much Jesus you give them. Help me, Lord. Now here we find the books open. Jesus stands 1 foot on the land, 1 foot on the sea, and he's presented the book, and it's up to every mankind whether he takes it, whether he eats it, and whether he gives it. It's up to you, it's up to me. And as hard as maybe as it may be to hear, for you to hear me say this, it's up to them ones that was here this morning. What they do with it. Well, preacher, what do I do in the meantime? Love them, youngins. Yes, yes. Love them. Tell them how good it was to see them at the Lord's house. Come on, with me. Tell them how much you'd like to see them again. Ask them what you can do to help them. Is there anything I can do for you? That's a message every head bowed just for a moment.